Lord, for your word, and thank you for the instruction and the word that helps us, Father, in the up times and in the down times. Thank you for your anointing upon that word that changes our lives completely. So we thank you now as we speak that word. Let it ring in our hearts, Father God, to give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Open your Bibles with me and let's go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And go to verse 35 with me. Okay. And here's what the writer of Hebrews said. He says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Now, I want to read that to you in the message. He says this, "So don't throw it all away now. You were sure of yourselves then. It's still a sure thing. But you need to stick it out, staying with God's plan, so you'll be there for the promised completion. It won't be long now. He's on the way. He'll show up most any minute. But anyone who is right with me thrives on loyal trust. If he cuts and runs, I won't be very happy. But we're not quitters who lose out. Oh no, we'll stay with it and survive, trusting all the way." Isn't that good? See, here's the thing I want to just kind of show you as we talk. The waiting is the hardest part. The waiting is the hard. If you've never had to believe God and just wait on God, then you don't understand what I'm talking about. But I think most of us at some time or another have prayed a prayer. We've asked God for something, but then we've had to wait. And I like what it says there in the message. We are not quitters. Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm not a quitter." See, we're people of faith, and so we're going to stay in faith. But there are times when we're waiting that it's hard. You're wondering, God, are you even working? You know, does God see where I'm at? Does He know what kind of shape I'm in right now? And He does. He does. But you see, everything is done in God's timing, not yours, not mine. And so here He's saying, you know, don't cast away your confidence. In other words, don't throw it away now. You've been standing, just keep on waiting. Just keep on holding to it. Don't quit. Stay in faith. And then you're going to see your promise. You see, the only way you don't get your promise is if you quit, is if you give up. Because God is faithful who promised. And so we have to learn that when we're waiting through something, we have to learn to be patient through it. And understand that God knows where we're at. He knows our situation. And God is working on our behalf. And here's the thing. When you know God's on your side, you cannot lose. Come on. So we ought to get excited about that. Well, we ought to know, even though it's hard to wait, we need to encourage ourselves and say, "I know God's got this." You know, what I do a lot of times when I'm waiting on God for something, I'll just, you know, He says, "Put me in remembrance of my word." Well, you see, I'm not going to pray the same prayer again, because I believe once you prayed once, the next prayer is in unbelief. Right? You know, if you prayed and asked God, the Bible says this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, which is His word, right, that He hears us. And if we know He hears us, then we know we have the petitions that we ask of Him. So in other words, the Bible says if you ask according to that word, then God heard it. So if you ask Him again, then you're thinking He didn't hear it, or you don't believe He heard it. See, so I believe very firmly in praying in faith once and then standing on that. Now, when he talks about putting me in remembrance of my word. What I do is once I've prayed, so if I'm praying for healing, I'll pray and ask God for that healing one time. But then after that, what I'll do is, "Thank you, God, I'm the healed of God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord," whatever it is. If it's, I've been thanking Him for my foot. I've had a sore on my foot. "Thank you, Lord, my foot's healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the healing of my foot." I'm not asking Him to do it again, because I already asked Him to do it. Amen. And it is healed. It's getting better. Every time I go back and have it checked, it's getting a little bit better. Praise God, it's healing. You know, and so I'm giving Him the glory for that. But I cannot. I have to stay in faith. I can't back down. Come on. You see, and so He says, don't cast away your confidence. Don't throw away what you've already been standing on. Keep standing on it and don't back down. Because God is faithful to perform it. Your promise is on the way. Come on now. You know, I mean, anybody orders any something from Amazon and you know it's supposed to be there today. You know. And it comes, so we're sorry it didn't get there today. Maybe it'll be there tomorrow. Yeah. God's not Amazon. God's on time with His stuff. But it's His time. Remember that, okay? God wants you to have it. And so He tells us, you just have to kind of wait on that. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'll read this to you. You don't have to go there. Just verse 1. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Notice this. There are seasons and there are times. So there's times that we just have to wait and be patient with God. Sometimes that's hard. You know, you start thinking about it. Well, man, you know, but then if we get in the Word and we start studying the Word, we find out that Daniel sought to know some things from God, and he began to pray, and he prayed for 3 weeks before he got an answer. He had to continue to stay in faith, continue to pray and believe God, stand on the fact that God would answer his prayer, and 3 weeks later an angel showed up with an answer. And you see, here's the thing, and this is why you have to stand in faith. When the angel got there, he told Daniel, from the day that you prayed, I was sent with your answer. Day one, the minute Daniel opened up his mouth and asked God, God said yes and sent it. But he says, I was hindered by the prince of Persia. Now, when you study that all out, what that means, the prince of Persia was not a physical person, but a spiritual deity, a demonic force in the heavenlies that was blocking the angel from getting the answer to Daniel. Matter of fact, he goes on and tells him, he said, Michael the archangel had to come help me out. Michael the archangel is a warring angel, so he came down and made a way through for that angel, the messenger angel, to get to Daniel to bring his promise to him, his answer. See, sometimes what's going on when you're in the waiting period, there's a battle going on. A spiritual battle, a battle in the heavenlies. You can't even see it. That's why you have to stay in faith. Come on now. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, right? That's what the Bible says. So see, you have to stay in faith and let God work things. Okay? That answer's already been given and God's already said yes, right? Come on, for all the promises of God are yes and amen through the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So God's already said yes. God wants you healed. He wants you financially blessed. He wants everything that you want because when you delight yourself in the Lord, He grants you the desires of your heart. So God's already said yes to the thing, but it's just a matter of being patient. Daniel was patient and he got his answer. It took 3 weeks. Now, you say, man, that's a long time to have to wait. Well, you know, you could have been Abraham. Abraham waited 25 years before he received his promise. 25 years. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that Abraham was a human being just like you and I. He was a person just like you and I. And when you're reading and studying Abraham's life, you'll find out Abraham messed up a lot. Because he was like you and I. He would get impatient. Actually, he and Sarah got impatient because, you know, she's saying, you know, I'm way too old. He was 75 when the promise came. I mean, Sarah said, I'm well past the childbearing age now, and you're too old to have seed that's going to produce. So I mean, let's do this. I've got this pretty little handmaiden over here. How about we let you go into her, and you can raise it. We'll raise up through her. That wasn't what God told him. God told him, Sarah, you're going to have this baby, and it's going to come from Abraham. But see, they messed up, and of course, that's because we're still having problems with that. That's what our president's doing now is over trying to straighten up all that mess. Because they had a child from that other woman. Come on now. That's where you got that from. Okay? And so they messed up. Why? Because they tried to do it their own way because they were impatient and wouldn't wait on God. Now, I understand 25 years would be a long time, right? But you know, 9 different times God came to Abraham and reminded him how he was going to bless him. And Abraham even one time said, how's that going to be? He said, I don't have any seed. And God was saying, I'm going to bless your seed. It's going to be like the stars of the sky, the sand of the sea. You know, I'm making your seed a great nation. Abraham looks at him and says, how's that going to be? I don't have any seed. And the person that's living in my house now, he's not mine. I mean, I understand that the heir that you're, but he's not my son. And God said, he's going to be out of your loins. He's going to be your son. That's who the seed's going to be through. And Abraham believed God, the Bible says. Finally, he really got it down in him. And he said it was accounted to him for righteousness. And guess what? When he's almost 100 years old, Adam has a child. See, sometimes you think about it. 75 seems pretty impossible, right? And then all of a sudden now God says, let me just show you what kind of God I am. Let me show you how I can perform any promise I make to you. Not 75 years old, but 100 years old when you bring forth that son. Sarah, I think 90. Am I right on that? I believe she was 90. Think about that. A 100-year-old and a 90-year-old having a newborn baby. Now, if that's not a miracle from God, what is? See, God is more than able to take care of your problem, no matter what's going on. But again, you have to wait and let it be the plan of God. It can't be your plan because your plan will mess things up. Let God, just be patient and watch what God does. And so sometimes we just have to wait. There is a time and there is a season, and God operates in times and seasons. He operates in time. There are times and seasons in God when certain things are going on, and that's the time it needs to be done. When you go back and read all that in Ecclesiastes, they talk about, you know, there's a time to plant, time to harvest, time to laugh, a time to cry. You know, and he goes through all these things. There's both sides of this. So there's times. Pastor Ed ordered some seed from one of the companies on that you can order from, and that company will not, if you order it, you can order it anytime you want to. But they will not send you that seed until it's time for you to plant it in your area. Because, you know, they know if you, you know, they send some folks, there are people going to go ahead and plant it or do whatever when they get it. And if it's not the right season, then it's not going to produce. And then those people are going to say, hey, I bought this seed off you. I bought this stuff off you. And it didn't do a thing. They're going to make sure that when you get it and put it in the ground, it's ready to grow. Can I tell you that's kind of what God does for you? There's times and seasons that God says, this is the season right now that I want you to do this. This is your time, and so I'm granting you that I'm doing this for you, and now's the time. That's why it is so important that when God says do, do. Don't procrastinate. But at the same time, when God says wait, wait. Because God's got a plan. You see, and you might not know exactly what that plan is, but He does. And He'll see it all the way through because, again, He's there to watch over it. So there's those times. Go with me over to Psalm 121, if you would. Psalm 121. The psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Notice here that it says, see, God's not slumbering. He's not asleep. Come on. Sometimes folks, you know, I just don't know if God even knows. Yes, God knows. He knows everything. He knows what you're going through. But notice here, He's going to take care of you. He's not slumbering. He's not asleep. He's working it for you. And you have to be willing for him to be able to work that for you so it can come to pass. Listen to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 59, verse 19. He says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, you'll just underline that in your Bible, that's Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Notice that. God's fighting your battle for you. When it looks like you're getting overwhelmed, overrun by the enemy, God says, just never mind, let me just slide up my flag. See, a standard was a flag that marked who they were. Different companies had different flags. And God says, the Spirit of the Lord is going to raise up a standard for you. In other words, you know the standard is going to say, private property, keep out, this is my son, this is my daughter, hands off. The Spirit of the Lord is going to do that. Raise up a standard. Notice that. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth forevermore. Notice this. God says, listen, I'm taking my word, and that word that's in your mouth going to be in your children's mouth. And that word that's in your children's mouth going to be in your grandchildren's mouth. You understand that? You see, that's what you and I should be doing right now. We need to be bringing up our children in the way they should go and teaching them how to be patient in God. Teaching them, listen, sometimes the trial you're going through, you don't even know it. But sometimes the thing that you're going through right now is not even for you. Sometimes the thing that you're going through is so that others can see what God does for you as you go through it and make them have more faith in God. Boy, man, I watched him. We watched this man right here. We watched him go through cancer. He's talked about it plenty, but I like to talk about it every now and then. I was in on that too, believing God with him. We watched him go through. I was in the waiting room when the doctor came out and called for Debbie, and we walked over there. And the doctor looked at him and said, when I opened him up, I almost just closed him back up. But he said, I remembered I promised him I'd do everything that I could. And he said, I got most of it. Some of it was stuck to his stomach and I couldn't get the lining or something. I couldn't get it. But he said, I did the best I could. Well, you see, what the doctor didn't know was he was just a pawn. He was just an instrument God was using, because even though he didn't get it all, God did. Come on now. You see what I'm saying? You know, and he went through all, and see, now I can stand before you all and tell you what God did for him. And you know, so if you get a bad report, all you got to do is say, if he did it for Ricky, he'd do it for me. If he's done something for me, he's going to do it for you. You see, so sometimes the thing that you go through, even though it's an attack against you, it's really not about you. Does that make sense? Sometimes what you're going through is just so somebody else can see how good God is through you. Because see, they may be doubting Him. They may be having problems. They may be something. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it one more time because I'm old and I can do that. I remember Darlene Bishop talking about when she got breast cancer. There was another pastor's wife in that town. She had breast cancer at the same time, you know, and some of the people, you know, when you're a word of faith person, people mock you a lot. When you believe in healing and stuff, they make fun of you, you know. And one of the things that happened with her, now let's just see how those faith people handle this now. Okay. Well, she went through time, just got worse. Eventually, the other pastor's wife died. And they said, well, okay, she'll die too. She said, my breast got so bad that there would be blood in my bed. They were bleeding. She said, I walked into the bathroom one morning and she said, I stood over the sink and there was blood dropping off my breast into the sink. And she said, I looked into the mirror and said, God, I don't care if my breast fall off. I still trust you. She's still preaching today. She received her healing. You see, Well, what does that do? Well, see, that tells me if God did it for her, He'd do it for somebody else. See, and sometimes these things happen. And of course, the whole community, everybody that was, all the naysayers, it's kind of God's like, in your face. And now God's not that way, but we are sometimes. I kind of like to get to do that sometimes, you know. Look what my God just did. Look how God just brought them through that. Did you see what God did? I like to brag on Him. I like to brag on what He's did in Him, done in His life. We got a bunch of miracles in there. Sister Beck sitting back there. God took care of her cancer. Praise God. I mean, we've just watched God do some things in this place and seen how God has worked miracles, and people that don't believe in healing don't understand. You know, if you just wait on God and believe His Word, the Word will come to pass. God's not a man that He can lie. He watches over His Word to establish it in your life. You just have to be willing to be able to let Him do that, see. And so here, you know, he's talking about how God takes care of you. And notice that, hey, he says He don't slumber or sleep, so He's always watching. Now, go with me over to Hebrews chapter 4. Let me show you something there. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 14 here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Now, what he's talking about there is, I'm not going to let go what I believe. I have professed Jesus Christ as my Savior, as my Lord, as my healer, as my financer, as my everything. So I'm going to hold fast to no matter what's going on in my life, He's my source. Come on. Yes, God says, you know, we work, but all you work for is to get money for seed. I see that just went over with Brother Rick and Debbie knows what I'm talking about. Some of you don't even understand that. That all your job is that's where you get your seed to plant. God is the increaser. God is the blesser. See, He gives you the life so that you can work and get the seed. But the seed needs to be planted in the kingdom of God so it can multiply. That's why we go through offering and saying, pressed down, shaking together, running over, is God going to give into your bosom. Notice that? You notice God that didn't say for you to give, pressed down, shaking together, running over? He just said give. And then He does the pressed down, shaking together, running over. Right? Come on, but now we're supposed to give according to the Word of God. But here, you know, He says, hold fast to your profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Notice that. Anything you're going through, the Lord Jesus went through it. Amen. He went through it all. Somebody said, well, now, you know, I don't read in the Bible anywhere where Jesus had cancer. Well, have you not read? Himself bore our sicknesses and our infirmities. On the cross, Jesus took our sin, but He also took our sicknesses, our diseases with Him. That's why the Bible says, and by His stripes you were healed. Yes, Jesus knows exactly what you're going through. He had to go through it so He could win the battle for you. So He says He was all points tempted. Now look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Notice that. When you're in the Lord and Jesus is your Savior, you can come boldly to the throne of grace. You don't got to sneak up. You don't have to be ashamed when you come. You can come boldly. You can just, you know, you just walk right up, right? Come on, you understand what I'm saying? You come, and it's not a matter of pride. We understand about that. I'm talking about the fact I can have the confidence. You know, when I went to my mom and dad's house when they were still alive, I never knocked on the door before I went in. You know why? I had boldness and confidence that my daddy and my mommy wanted to see me. Now, I might be a little arrogant in that, I don't know. But I always had confidence and boldness that they did. And anytime I went on in, they went, well, howdy, come on in, you know. I never once said, oh, gosh. There they are. Yeah. No, they will always welcome me in. Your Heavenly Father does the same thing. When you come knocking on the throne door, He just, come on in. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Why? Because when you need help, that's where you'll find the help. Amen. Thank God for His help. Thank God He's always there for us. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes, when things are going good, you don't need help. But here's the thing. You still need Him. Because when it's going good, you know, it's real easy for people to forget how good He is to them. Right? Come on now, think about that. See, a lot of people forget to be thankful when things are going good. And we have to be careful that we don't do that. We don't forget how good God is because things are going good and right now we don't need Him. I mean, I know we need Him, but I'm just saying, it's not an immediate, urgent, you know, right? We're kind of cruising right now. And the blessing of the Lord is sustaining us. But there comes that point, and it will come because Jesus said, in this world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. There's going to come that time where you're going to need some little help in some area. Okay? So we have to be careful that we don't forget how good God is and forget about God while things are going good. See, a lot of folks live their life that way. They live their life from high, making it their own way, doing everything good. I don't need God. And all of a sudden, oh Lord, I got to have Your help. And as soon as He helps them, and they get back up again, they forget about Him again. I remember a particular guy that I'm not going to mention any names, but I was friends with, but he developed cancer, and he had a big cancer inside of him, and I went down to see him and talked to him, and he gave his life to the Lord, you know, and was going to church, and they took out a football-sized cancer out of him, you know, and he started going to church, but guess what? After he started getting better, he quit going to church. Another one came back. He's not with us anymore. He's gone. See, we should never forget how good God's been to us. You know, I mean, once you get well, that's not the time to get away from God. That's the time you rejoice and grab hold of God and say, thank You, Jesus. You're my healer. I'm never leaving You. Come on. You see, but it's easy for people sometimes. They forget. Let's read. Even the Bible talks about it a little bit. Go with me. Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 1 here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 here. It says this, you know, of course, Peter's writing. He talks about grace and peace being given to you. But he goes, according to His divine power, hath given unto us all things. Now, this is the Lord Jesus has. Have given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that have called us to glory and virtue. Now, here's the thing. Everything that we need has been given to us, but if you don't know it, you can't get it. Notice it's been given to you through the knowledge. People that don't know about healing are not likely going to receive healing. That guy, you got real quiet on me. Faith is believing the Word of God. And faith in healing is believing the Word of God concerning healing. It's not a feeling. Well, I just feel like God's going to heal me. Well, what makes you feel like that? Well, I just feel like He is. If you don't have Word to back up what you're promised, then you don't have a promise. You have a feeling. A feeling won't get you anything. You need the promise of God, then God's watching over that promise to make sure it comes to pass. Amen. So we got, He's given us everything, but we have the knowledge here that it's been given to us. Whereby, verse 4, are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Given us His very divine nature. Think about that. I mean, you know, how much better can you get than His divine nature? Look at your neighbor and say, you're godly whether you know it or not. Even though you don't act like it sometimes, you're still godly. Right? You've been given His divine nature. Okay? That's what helps us escape the world. helps us get out of the way, out of that stuff. Verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brother kindness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Notice what he says here. He says, listen, what we need to do is, you've been given the God divine nature. You ought to be just putting that on display before the world, letting the world see that you have God's divine nature, being good to people, loving people. And notice this. He says, you don't forget that God forgave you of your sins. You don't forget that He died for you on a cross. You don't forget that. And then he says, if you keep living the God life in front of Him, he says, guess what? You'll never fall. See, if you stay with God, you're not going to fall. The thing that causes a person to fall is when we step away from God. When we back away from God. We know that everyday life is hard sometimes. But we have to just stay with God even when it don't look like things are going good. You still trust God because, again, God's there with you. Okay? Now, when we know we're living for Him and being obedient to His Word, we can count on Him being right there with us. How do I know that? Well, I've got His Word here. Listen to this. Romans chapter 8, verse 27 and 28 says this, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God is working all things together for good for you. Now, so let's kind of start summarizing this thing up and kind of bring it to a close here. What do I do when things start coming at me? I'm a child of God. I've been serving God. I think I'm trying my best to live for Him. Things are going to come. Okay? So what do I do when things start coming at me? Well, the number one thing I'm going to tell you is stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to God. See, the first thing that a lot of people want to do is turn away from the very God that protects them. First thing, well, what do you mean? Well, they'll just quit church. They start to have a little trouble. They'll quit church. I've seen it in divorce. I've seen it in a lot of things. And sometimes if people quit church because they can just get mad at God. I knew a fellow that quit preaching one time because he got mad at God because somebody in the family died. I mean, you know, people do some things for different reasons, but you know, one of the first things you see happening, and you can also, another thing that'll happen too is people will they'll quit giving. That's another way you know that people's getting away from God. You watch how they're giving. See, they'll turn away from that. I'm going to tell you now, we're going through a rough patch here, so I'm going to take my God's tithe and I'm going to do this with it. Worst mistake you ever made in your life. I know that bothers people. You know, you can do what you want to do. But I'm talking from experience here. I've been around a while. Pastor Ed and I went through that little bout. We went through that little thing years ago. We learned our lesson quickly. You don't take God's money and do anything with it. Because you don't rob God. Right? Come on. I mean, it's in His Word. He tells them over in Malachi 3. He said, will a man rob God? He said, but you've robbed me. And you say, how? We robbed you. He said, in tithes and offering. And then he goes on and says, bring all the tithes in the storehouse so there'll be meat in my house, saith the Lord. And that's when he says, and I'll pour you, open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There won't be room enough to receive it. I'll rebuke the devourer. Your fruit's not going to come off the vine. It's not going to rot. In other words, it's going to produce. God says all those things about blessing. And so sometimes what folks do, the first thing they do, you know, is, and it's true, it's in church and in missions. And, you know, we support international missions outreach. And Pastor John's always told me, he said, you know, the first thing that happens is people quit giving. First place they quit giving is missions. Quit giving in church. But don't stop them from going out and eating and giving a 15 or 20% tip. Don't get mad at me now because I'm preaching good there. It gets quiet if you start talking about money. People get. I'm trying to get you blessed. I'm not trying to bring any kind of condemnation on you. I'm speaking from experience here. I know I've been there and done that. I've got a t-shirt, a hat, buttons, bells on my shoes. I mean, Pastor Ed and I've been through it, ain't we, Pastor Ed? And we learned. Be faithful to God. Make sure that you, when you're going through something, church is where you need to be. You see, the devil tell you, well, you don't need to go there. You know this is happening to you. This is happening to you. And people look at you funny. No, he's just trying to keep you from going where people love you. Because I promise you, anything you're going through, somebody else has been through it. The biggest lie of the devil is to tell you that you're the only one that's ever went through this. And that you somehow have less faith because you've got a problem. Listen, that's the biggest lie of the devil. Well, you're a faith person. You know, you wouldn't be sick if you had faith. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. The place I want to be when I'm sick is in church. Now, I don't want to bring anything here to give you anything. But if something's going on, this is the healing house. Come on. When my finances are under attack, that's when you ask God, God, where do I need to give something to? Where is it I need to sow some more seed? Or do I need to sow more seed in my house? Or what I need? See, when I start understanding that, well, you say, well, I don't know now. You know, what's it called? Seed. What does seed produce? A harvest. Do you need a harvest or you want to just eat your seed? Come on, you need a harvest, right? I mean, come on, we don't do it much anymore because I guess we've just gotten older and lazy or whatever, but people used to do it all the time, and people still do. We'd plant potatoes every year. You know, now we don't eat very many potatoes these days, but used to, you know, we'd go buy like a 50 or 100 pound sack of seed potatoes. And you'd even take those and cut them up so that you'd have like three pieces out of each potato and so you could sow the eyes. So you'd raise a big crop of potatoes. Now, see, you had a choice. You'd get like 100 pounds of potatoes, cut them up, put them in the ground. And later on, if Lord willing and things went well, you'd get 15 or 20 bushel of potatoes from that 100 pound sack. Now, see, I want you to do the math there. Would we be better off eating our 100-pound sack of seed that we've got right now in our hands, or would we be better off putting that 100-pound sack of seed into the ground, letting God bless it, bring forth a harvest, and later on have 15 or 20 bushels? It's just that simple. And I know that's I'm talking about potatoes here, but it's the same way in the kingdom of God when it comes to our giving. When we sow seed into the kingdom of God, you're assured. See, the thing about gardening was, sometimes you can have bad seasons. But if you put it in the kingdom of heaven, how many knows the Bible says there ain't no moth there to eat, nothing to corrupt it? It's going to produce when you put it into the kingdom of God. Come on. So you've got to understand that. So the last thing you want to do is not be faithful to God when you're going through something. Be faithful in every area. Don't let anything drop. You stay there, okay? Now, let's look at something else here I put down. The next thing, of course, this is a very important thing, is the fact that you need to make sure that you stay prayed up. When you're going through something, you need to make sure you're, instead of complaining, you're praying. Instead of talking about the problem all the time, you're praying. See, sometimes, and you got to understand that you need to pray in the Holy Ghost. A lot. A lot. Now, I'm talking about praying in tongues. I can show it in the Bible if you're having trouble with it. Pray in the Spirit. We just read the Scripture a few minutes ago. If you read just a little bit before that, the Bible says there are times you don't know how to pray as you ought, but the Holy Spirit will pray and make intercession for you. And then that's when it goes on and says, and he that knows the mind of the Spirit. In other words, when the Holy Spirit, when you're praying and allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you, you're praying the perfect prayer to God. Because he knows what the will of God is for your life. And so now you're praying, and instead of you trying to give God your plan, the Holy Ghost is saying, okay, this is the plan we've got for his life. We want to see this come to pass in his life. And God's saying, yes, that's exactly my plan. Let's do that. He's interceding for you. So you, when you're going through something, you pray in the Spirit, but you also pray in understanding too. I mean, you pray what you know to pray. Just be careful and don't pray a bunch of doubt and unbelief. Right? Stay in the Word. Stay with the Word and your prayer will be a prayer of faith. Amen? So you make sure that, number one, you're staying faithful to God. Number two, you're making sure that you're staying prayed up. And the last thing that I put down here is that you stand strong in your faith. You don't come down. We discussed that some at the beginning. But make sure that you stay right there and stand. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, a lot of times, you know, the things that you're going through, it may be coming through people, but you've got to understand behind those people is a demonic spirit. You're not wrestling with flesh and blood. You're wrestling with all these things, this whole list that God says, you know, Paul writing, he says, listen, this is the thing. Right, here's what you're wrestling against. So you make sure that you stand strong in the Lord. And then he goes on and says this, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I'm going to stop there, but you go ahead and read the rest of that armor. He says, put all this on so that you can stand against the enemy. And of course, he goes on and says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You keep your faith. You keep standing strong in your faith. Don't back down from what you know is true. Don't listen to naysayers. Don't listen to your friends that try to come and say, well, you know, now you can do what you want, you know, but I just don't believe in that. Fine. You don't have to believe in it. The Word says it. You don't want to believe God, that's fine. I'm choosing to believe God. You see, you just keep your faith. Remember when Egypt is escaping, I'm sorry, Israel is escaping out of Egypt. And God has allowed them to spoil the Egyptians. I mean, they'd gotten to the point, they said, you know, take whatever you want, we got, just get out of here. And it says they spoiled them. And they took off. But then, after they got so far down the road, all of a sudden, Pharaoh changed his heart. All of a sudden now Pharaoh says, what have we done? We've let our slaves go. Who's going to make bricks now? Who's going to work for us now? Who's going to be our slaves now? Come on, let's go get them. And so here the children of Israel, they're heading away and they come up to the Red Sea. And all of a sudden behind them is a dust cloud. It's the armies of Egypt coming after them. And they're coming up, and now they're complaining. What have you done now to us? You brought us Moses out here, and now all we're going to do is just die out in the desert. And he looks at them and he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And if you remember the rest of the story, if you're not ready, it's very interesting. You ought to read it sometime. God speaks to Moses, because Moses goes to God and says, God, why you brought these people out here? What do you want me to do? He said, what are you talking to me for? See, sometimes, there's a point here. Sometimes you're asking God to do something for you that He has already placed the power in you to do. Sometimes your healing is not a miracle from God, but the Word of God that you speak over yourself. By His stripes, I was healed. Therefore, if I was, I am. You don't need a miracle of healing from God. You need to speak that word over your life. God says, what are you talking to me about this for, Moses? What you got in your hand? Got a rod? He said, well, just stretch forth that rod then over the sea. And he stretched forth the rod. A wind started blowing. When it was done, the wind parted the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went over on dry land. God is back here, lightning, thunder, wheels flying off of chariots. God's back here fighting their battle for them, and they're walking across the Red Sea on dry ground. Now, I don't know if you've ever been around. See, I've been a fisherman all my life. When the water leaves a place, it's not dry. Right? Me and Scotty's been on many a fishing bank that if you weren't real careful, you'd slide from the top of the bank and end up in the water because it was so muddy after the water receded. The Bible says they went across on dry ground. Not was it only a miracle that water walled up on both sides, but the ground in between is dry. And they go across on dry ground. And Pharaoh's just mean enough, just arrogant enough to say, if they can do it, I can do it. The difference was, he was their God, not Pharaoh's God. And so he starts chasing them across the Red Sea. And when he gets in the middle of the Red Sea, God goes, and the water goes, and destroys all of the armies of Egypt. Made Miriam so happy, she started dancing and playing her tambourine and singing songs. How good God was. See, that's the God we serve. He's always, no matter what the situation looks like, God's got a plan. God's going to bring it to pass. You just follow the plan of God. You just stay with God. You stay faithful. Keep your faith up. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord in your life. And you're going, I'm telling you, it's going to be a happy life if you'll just trust God. Amen.